Hello and welcome to this week's Key Voices, conversations with folk in and around education. I'm Caroline Doherty. Today I am joined by Toby Baker, Programme Manager Education at Nesta, and we are going to talk a little bit about EdTech in school and a programme that Toby is working on. Welcome, Toby. Can you tell us a bit about Nesta and how you actually work in education?
Yes, of course. And thanks a lot for inviting me to be here. It's great to be able to tell people a little bit more about what we're working on. So Nesta is an innovation foundation. So what that means is that we look for new or sometimes just better ways of doing things, mm-hmm. In particular areas. And education is one of those social areas that is a big priority for us. And that's what I spend my time doing. And that's a combination of research into new ideas. So that might be emerging technologies, or it might be very low tech, actually, just new ways of doing something. And then we combine that because we are in a fortunate situation where we have an endowment thanks to the National Lottery. So we have some money, which means we can combine research with actually trying things out, experimenting, and working with people and supporting people who are actually doing stuff on the ground to take these ideas and try and grow the ones that are successful. So that sometimes looks like working directly with schools and teachers. Sometimes that's with charities who are delivering extracurricular activities, or sometimes with companies like EdTech companies who are selling products to schools. And one of the main areas of interest for us at Nesta in education is around technology. So we're thinking, you know, how can we help schools and colleges to make more effective use of technology? And we think that's a really exciting question, partly because, you know, right now there is so much potential in technology. Mm. You know, there's lots of really exciting tools that we come across that can do extraordinary things, from, you know, smart timetabling to make it easier to do flexible working in a school, right through to some very sophisticated assessment tools that are using AI to predict student performance and help teachers use that information to iterate their teaching, etc. So there's a lot of potential, which is one fantastic thing. But kind of on the flip side, what we do see is a bit of a gap between that potential and what it actually looks like in practice in a lot of classrooms and schools across the country. We find when we speak to lots of teachers that often some of this technology doesn't quite live up to expectations. So there's some really positive things. There's great tools out there for us to work with, but some quite significant challenges that we're trying to help schools, colleges, and EdTech organisations overcome.
And how does what you do compare or link to the Education Endowment Foundation in terms of sort of trialing approaches and sharing best practice?
So we are not the Education Endowment Foundation, but we think that they're great and we talk to them quite a lot. One of the things that we are really interested in is evidence and evaluation. So for people who aren't familiar with the Education Endowment Foundation, they are an organisation which fund large-scale trials of education interventions, and they use quite robust methods to be able to do that. Normally randomized control trials. So that's essentially where you have lots and lots of schools. Some of them receive an intervention. It might be a piece of technology, it might not be. And some schools don't receive that intervention. And then after a period of time, you compare the results between those that did and those that didn't. And so you're able to, with some confidence, be able to say, where an intervention's been successful, you can say, yes, I'm really confident that it's that specific thing, that specific bit of training or that specific bit of technology that led to that positive outcome. At Nesta, we're really interested in evidence, but we're in that slightly unusual position, which is that we're also really interested in innovation and new things. So how do you be completely evidence-led when what you're trying to do is something that's kind of new and hasn't been done before. So that's quite a tricky space to try and get around. And actually, you know, that's what anyone in a school who's trying out something new is sort of working around themselves in their own heads. So we're doing the same thing, really. So we put quite a lot of emphasis on appropriate and commensurate evidence. So what we wouldn't want to do is take a really new early stage ed tech tool and say, you know, before anyone's allowed to touch it, we want to spend, you know, £1 million working out whether this perfectly works in all scenarios. Instead, what we want to try and do is work with that ed tech organization and perhaps a smaller number of schools, try and create a sort of a safe environment where we have kind of de-risked a bit of that process for trialing out a tool, and help organizations to use the best available research to inform the design of their product, and help schools and colleges to understand that landscape of evidence out there to make the best decision for them. Because we know also that how tools are used in different schools and the context across different schools will have a big effect on what's the right technology product for you. At the moment, we're working on one large program in partnership with the Department for Education, actually, which is called the EdTech Innovation Testbed.
Right, okay. Tell us more about that.
So I can tell you more about that. We're very excited about it. It's just launched, in fact, and it's open for applications right now for schools and colleges to take part until the 25th of November. So do watch for that, and you can see details of it on our website. But essentially, what we're trying to do there is get at that sort of... that second problem I mentioned earlier on, we know that technology doesn't always live up to expectations in the classroom. And there's this gap between what technology can sometimes do and how it is often used in classrooms and the impact that we sometimes see in classrooms. So through the program, what we want to do is support schools and colleges to make more effective use of technology, while at the same time helping edtech organizations to develop more robust evidence in support of their product. So at the moment, I think we speak to lots of teachers and head teachers in schools who ask us, well, you know, what technology product should I buy? Or how do I know that this tool is any good? Or between these two, you know, what's the right one for me? And I think it's really, really hard to make decisions at the moment about what product is the best for me in my particular context, etc. So through the testbed program, we want to help schools and colleges try out technology products for free that are suited to a specific need that they want to address in their school. Then secondly, we will be funding an independent evaluation team to work with the participating school and the edtech tool that's being trialed to carry out an evaluation. So work closely and actually find out what has this tool done in this particular school, and why has it worked, if it's worked? What's gone well? What's gone less well? And try and get into some of those questions around context and implementation. Because we know that it's not enough to just, you know, look at hard data. It's really important to talk to teachers and say, well, what did you find when you were using this tool? What was good about it? What was less good about it? What would you do next time if you were giving advice to your colleague on how to use it? So that evaluation is the kind of glue that will bring together edtech products and schools and colleges. And then the other aspect to it that we think is really important is a program of professional development for staff in schools that are participating in the EdTech Innovation Testbed. Okay. Because one of the things that we hear again and again is that EdTech tools can be quite hard to use, and teachers are trained professionals in teaching. But if I were given a brand new tech product, you know, in my work, it does happen. Actually, I get given a new tech product and I've got no idea how to use it, and I need help to do that. But when you're in a really high pressure situation, you might be in the classroom delivering a lesson, it's very hard to be also learning how to use a technology product at the same time. So we think that this professional development and the training is a really important part of helping technology products to improve their impact in schools and colleges.
And I imagine that often you get a sort of lead in a school who is then having to train other staff. So it's not just enough for you to sort of understand how to use it for maybe your subject or your phase, that you might then have to be sort of the trainer training other people. And, you know, just imagining where you have a product that has, you know, lots of different functionality or can be used in lots of different ways, having a kind of richer understanding of the possibilities that it offers could also be really useful as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And there's a big difference between, you know, feeling like you can just do the things that you know that you need to do and that you do quite often, and feeling like you've got a complete mastery of something and you're quite comfortable with explaining to other people how it works or experimenting with some of these, you know, additional features that could be really helpful to you. And particularly with some of the more advanced edtech tools that we come across, you know, there's huge potential actually within them to be able to do stuff that's quite sophisticated, but you need help to be able to know not just what it can do, but how that connects to what you're trying to do and what's the problem that you're trying to overcome or the bit that you're trying to improve. So that might be, you know, there's lots of tools that can help with assessment, for example. So on the one hand, that might be sets of really high quality tested questions that come with an automatic ability for this bit of software to mark students' answers. So on one level, that's fairly easy to understand what it's doing and quite easy to use that in one scenario. But if we then think, you know, what can we do with across two terms, all of the answers that come in from students, how could I use that information to target some of my teaching, etc., then it's some of these more sophisticated features that we really need more, that take more time to get to understand, more support, more confidence. And what we at Nesta would like to see is some more intentional and structured training and support for schools alongside the product itself.
And is that actually, you know, actually some of the important learning is going back the other way into the design of these products? If it is difficult for schools to realize these extra features or work with them, that actually the people making these products kind of need to know that in order to make things that are fit for purpose.
Completely agree. And I think, you know, if you go to a conference like BET in January, for example, the big edtech conference that's held in London, there's extraordinary things from all around the world. Different nations have their sort of global stand showing off the best of their edtech products. But sometimes, you know, I think it's a fantastic event and there's really exciting stuff there. But sometimes it can feel quite remote from, you know, the classrooms that we go and visit and the teachers that we speak to. So I do think there is a risk that there's this big gap between the kind of the creators of technology and the users of technology when we know that that isn't the best option for doing it. And I think the examples of the tools that we get really excited about at Nesta are the ones which are really designed with teachers, certainly with teachers like at the real front of their mind, you know, how is this going to be used effectively? And sometimes tools are founded by former teachers, actually.
Yes,
it's a bit of a trend. You know, we don't want to encourage anyone to leave the teaching profession, but there are
former
teachers who, you know, have set up tools and obviously their own teaching experience is right at the front of their mind. And that can be a bit of a contrast between tools which are less in tune with teacher experience.
Yeah, no, definitely. I've seen a lot of things where it's a sort of a little hack or workaround that one teacher has used, and then it sort of spirals from there. And as you say, they often go off and lead exciting new companies. And we know that Damien Hines was a big champion of EdTech when he was in charge at the DfE. How does this piece of work link with that EdTech strategy that came out was earlier this year? Gosh, I don't know where time is going.
So the DfE's EdTech strategy came out in April, I think, March or April of this year. And we at Nestor, we've been interested in EdTech for quite a long time. We invest in EdTech. We've done quite a bit of research over the years. But the government EdTech strategy has really focused people's minds, I think, across the sector and given a bit more momentum to this area where, you know, I certainly think there's huge potential.
Yeah.
And in fact, the testbed program that I mentioned is in partnership with the Department for Education and makes up one element of their EdTech strategy. So the DfE's EdTech strategy is split into 10 challenge areas, and we have partnered with the department to help deliver towards four of those challenge areas.
Right.
And they're quite specific things. So the four that we're working on are improving formative assessment, essay marking, timetabling, and parental engagement.
Okay, so sort of two classroom activity, kind of more teachery, and then two that are sort of more wider kind of school leadership and management.
Yeah, I think that's right. Although certainly with the parental engagement one, you know, I think there are some tools that are sort of really crossing over between, you know, parental engagement doesn't just need to be reminding people when the next parent's evening is. It can be much more closely linked to what's going on in the classroom.
Okay.
But I think that one of the strengths of the DfE strategy is that it is quite focused in that way and is focused on problems, you know, activities that we're already doing in schools, you know, teachers are already working on in schools that we think technology can help with rather than starting specifically with the technology. And I think that's absolutely the right way around. And so our work with the department as part of that strategy is split into two main strands. The first is a grant fund program. And through that side of it, what we're aiming to do is support the EdTech tools themselves, the sort of the supply. How do we get more high quality tools being used in England? And so through that bit of the program, we're awarding grants to EdTech companies that we are very excited about. And we should be announcing around 15 organizations that we will be funding over the next 18 months. Later this month, I hope, fingers crossed, legal contracts pending later this month. The second half of the program is where we look at a different element of the problem. So if through the grant fund side, we're focused on that supply bit, how do we support EdTech companies? It's through the EdTech innovation testbed where we flip it really. And we're saying, okay, how do we work with schools and colleges to help them use the tools that there are more effectively?
Yeah.
And so it's through that bit of the program that we will be asking schools and colleges to fill in a short application form online where they tell us a little bit more about the specific areas that they might like support with around those four challenge areas.
Yeah.
And we then work to partner those schools with a promising EdTech tool that already has some supporting evidence that we think, you know, has high potential to address those four challenge areas. And then we fund the school to use that technology tool for free. And we run an evaluation alongside that as the school's using it with an independent evaluation partner. And there's a program of professional development that goes alongside that as well for key staff in the school who are involved in the program to make the most of being part of this testbed, in fact, you know, and not just learn from us, but learn from their peers in other schools and colleges around the country who'll be using the same or similar tools.
And if I were to ask the tricky question and kind of say, I'm a busy school leader, I've got lots of stuff going on in my school, my staff are really busy too, why should I get involved with this program? What would you say?
Great question. So, I mean, the overarching why is because we think that these tools could help schools and colleges. You know, that's why we're really interested in EdTech. But the next bit is we've really tried as hard as we possibly can to reduce the burden on any schools and colleges who aren't going to be involved in the program. So that means there's a lot of in-person support from us, our evaluation partner. There is financial contributions towards staff cover for time that's taken up by being involved in the program. Although, as I say, you know, we've really tried to reduce that time as much as possible. So it's kind of filling in the application form, helping us match you with the right product at the beginning, sharing with us some data throughout the evaluation so that we can work out how it's working for you in your school. But as I say, you know, we'll be using as much as we possibly can data that you're already collecting, and we're really flexible as how you want to give us that data. And we, you know, we can send people around with memory sticks. You know, a lot of it is quite old school. We can be really flexible.
Okay.
And then we think that this professional development is, you know, a real opportunity for the right person in a school. Again, we're flexible enough on what that support looks like that we can make it as useful as possible for the schools that are engaged in the program and want to use this opportunity if it's right for them. So that was a long answer.
No, really,
you know, we're really keen to make this as doable and workable for schools as we possibly can. And it's something we've thought about quite a lot. But really, we're excited about it because we think it could be really valuable for schools. And that's the real driving force.
And will you be kind of, how will you be sharing the sort of the results or the things that you're learning either with the participants or a wider audience?
That's a good question. So we've got, there's quite a few different audiences for this program, actually. I think the most important one is schools themselves. You know, how can we help schools who are involved in the program first to make the most of having been involved in the program? So what we will be able to do for each evaluation that takes place is to give some really specific and actionable recommendations for, okay, day one at the end of this program, what are some of the things that I could do to help see some benefits in a more long-term time frame? So that's where we start from, really actionable things. But we also think that lots of these findings could be useful to wider schools and colleges, not just those who have tested a specific product. And part of that is because we think that what we see a lot is that often the biggest factor about whether an EdTech tool is impactful or not is how it's implemented, how it's used, the types of longer term strategies that might be in place in a school, how it's aligned with curriculum priorities. So we think that lots of those questions are really, really useful to schools. And we have this really, you know, unique opportunity, really fortunate opportunity to be able to work closely with quite a number of schools to ask those questions and for schools to share what seems to be working with us. And so we will be able to get that out to schools and colleges. And again, you know, I don't want to promise the exact format. What I'm conscious of is, you know, what we shouldn't be doing is just making a PDF document and sticking it on our website. These things need to be really usable and actionable. But that's what we're striving for. And again, you know, to some extent, we're flexible to see what's most useful, what comes out of it, and then make the most appropriate outputs for schools.
Yeah. And imagine in your work to date, kind of visiting schools and thinking about these issues, have you seen any kind of really interesting examples of how schools are using tech at the moment that you'd like to share?
I think there's so much really exciting stuff happening. I think, you know, just personally, the stuff that I find most exciting is when I see someone within a school or a school as a whole that have really managed to identify a problem that they really care about and is quite specific to them. And they've sort of matched the technology around that problem. And I think that's the really important thing to remember, that EdTech is not about throwing any technology at any school. It's about what's the problem that you've got that could be supported with technology and building out from that. So one example that I think is really cool, partly also because it was developed by students as well. There's a school in Plymouth, the Plymouth School of the Creative Arts. I'm sure they won't mind me name dropping them because it's a fantastic program and they're very proud of it. They were really interested in well-being among their students and also their staff in their school. And they wanted a better way to sort of gauge what the general mood and feelings of their school were. And so a class project was to develop a chatbot which students in the school could speak to, and it would, you know, occasionally ask them slightly loaded questions, but not a kind of outright "how are you feeling today?" And the chatbot then analyzed the words that students were saying to perform a kind of sentiment analysis, is I think what it's called. And then so in the big, you know, the atrium of their school, as you walk in, there's a huge screen, and on it is an emoji, which ranges from, you know, very sad to very happy, hopefully happy most of the time, which is the sort of, you know, the current mood and temperature of the school based on these conversations that have been going on.
It was in the front doorway. You might have to go away again if it's not a smiley one. Wow. Okay.
But I think that's a really exciting one of, you know, you can start with something that you're really interested in, and take it from in almost any direction that you want. But it's got to be driven by something that you really want to do. And then you can get quite creative with it. And I find that very exciting.
And have you got any examples that really kind of demonstrate an impact or sort of evidence of being really effective? I think that's something that people are often concerned about, you know, this could be time consuming, this is going to involve training or cost. And how do I know that it's working?
Yeah, so I think this evidence question is really, really important, and something that we think about quite a lot. I think at the moment it's quite hard, you know, if you're in a school trying to decide, you know, should I buy this product or that product? The way that evidence is reported is very inconsistent. Sometimes it's not always there. It's really, really hard to make some of those decisions. So I think it's a tricky subject, and we, through our work, are trying to hold the sector to a slightly higher standard around evidence. And through the testbed, partly what we're trying to do is generate some more reliable, more robust measures around impact. But having said that, I think there are some fantastic tools out there that have really taken this question of how do we measure and quantify the value that we can add to schools effectively and robustly. Across the four challenge areas that we're working on with the Department for Education, a sort of a common theme that we're interested in over all of those four areas is teacher workload, for example. And that's something that actually is relatively easy to measure over a short period of time. And we are working with tools, speaking to tools who have seen quite dramatic improvements to teacher workload when their tool is being used. But as I said earlier, one of the things that's so difficult about it is that it also relies a lot on the context that it's being used, how it's implemented, etc. So it's one of those ones where the answer is never quite as simple as, you know, that's got a 5-star review, so I know that's the one for me. But it is really important to dig around in whatever evidence you can find as much as possible. Talk to other people, because other people will have used these tools. Teacher recommendations, we find, are still one of the most commonly used ways for people to decide between different tools. And obviously, you know, look at the results of the EdTech Testbed, where what we're trying to do is, you know, generate some of that more quantifiable and more standardized evidence that we hope will be really helpful for people with that difficult job of trying to work out what's the tool for them.
Exactly. And just as a final point there, can I ask for your predictions? I mean, in as much as you would like to guess, how do you think the role of technology will develop over the next 10 years in schools?
Good question. So I think we're definitely going to see more technology. Mm. I think that's not that controversial to say. But what I'd hope is that we see more technology, but we're less aware of it. Mm. I think we're still in that slightly awkward period at the moment where technology is a thing, you know, and often it sits in a cupboard and then it has to be taken out of the cupboard, or it's something that we, you know, staff in schools are consciously thinking, okay, now I'm going to use the bit of technology. Yeah. And I think we haven't got to the point yet where everything is very smoothly integrated. Everything is very easy to use. Mm. So what my prediction, it's a hopeful prediction, optimistic prediction, is that yes, we see more technology, but we see more examples of where we're actually less aware of it. Because I think that's the sign of when technology is being used really well.
Great. And just a quick reminder for schools, if they do want to get involved in the testbed, can you give us the details, please?
Of course, now is the time. Schools and colleges, you can fill in a short application form. It takes about 10 minutes, which you can find on the Nesta website, nesta.org.uk. And we're open for applications until the 25th of November. That's it.
Great stuff. Well, thank you very much, Toby, for talking to us today. And thank you very much for listening. Key Voices is produced by The Key, giving education leaders the knowledge to act. Members of The Key for School Leaders can access hundreds of articles on the latest issues in education at thekeysupport.com.